Well, we have been traveling with the Apostle Paul for some time now. We've gone through three missionary journeys. We're now on his final journey to Rome. I think we've been blessed a great deal by walking with Paul all of these months and all of this, through all these experiences. So we are, as we mentioned, on this final journey to the city of Rome. Some people have referred to this as the fourth missionary journey of Paul. It's not an official missionary journey where he set out to do this, but as we have been observing all along the way, he's been a testimony to the power of God, working miracles and healings and bringing the message of the gospel wherever he goes. So it could be seen as a fourth missionary journey. You recall, kind of just walking through where we've been so far, we're now coming to his arrival in Rome, the final chapter in the book of Acts. We started off with Caesarea, where Paul had spent 2 years as a prisoner, but during those 2 years, he was given many opportunities to defend the gospel, and we looked at those defenses. But then he appealed to Rome, and he set off from Caesarea toward Rome. The first stop was Sidon. That's where the Apostle Paul was able to visit with the believers, there in Sidon. Traveling further, he came up to Myra. This is where they changed ships, found a grain freighter, got aboard that ship, and continued on their journey. They came to the island of Crete. We talked about Fair Havens as the potential place to winter, but the decision was made to go on to Phoenix. They got caught by that nor'easter wind and were pushed out into the sea. They spent 2 weeks with darkness and unable and unsure of where they were, but then God providentially brought them to the island of Malta. And the last time we looked at Paul's story, we talked about the events on the island of Malta. As we pick up our story now in Acts chapter 28, verse 11, we are leaving the island of Malta and continuing the voyage to Rome. So, verse 11, after 3 months we put out to sea in a ship that had wintered in the island. It was an Alexandrian ship with a figurehead of the twin gods Castor and Pollux. Now, they had come to Fair Havens as a potential place to winter. Paul advised them to stay there, but they decided to push on. They also missed the opportunity to winter at Phoenix. And now we discovered that they ended up wintering in Malta. We had talked about the fact that during those winter months, people did not travel. It was very difficult. So they are now wintering on the island of Malta. And they spent 3 months there, the winter months. And we just want to think about wintering in Malta and why God's providential hand brought them there. Why didn't they stay in Fair Havens? Why couldn't they arrive in Phoenix? We've been talking about God's providential hand as we've walked with Paul all these months of travel. Well, think about what happened in Malta. Last time we looked at this story, we talked about Paul's witness, Paul's miracles, Paul bringing healing to many people on that island through the power of Jesus. That could not have taken place if it had not been for the hand of God working through the Apostle Paul. So God seems to have brought them to the island for Paul to continue that ministry, continue that proclamation, and to continue to bless others through that healing hand. So the winter, months of November, December, January, now we see that a south wind begins to blow. Here it is, the beginning of the month of February, and they find another Alexandrian ship, a grain freighter. We've talked about the grain freighters as we saw Paul travel on such a ship from Myra to Malta. We mentioned that in the Roman Empire, there was a great need for grain for the city of Rome, and Alexandria in Egypt was one of the main places where that grain was grown, and there seems to have been a network of grain freighters, ships carrying grain around the Mediterranean, and it seems to have been a system that Rome had authority over. We indicated that Julius, who was the Roman commander on this voyage, had some kind of an authority over these grain freighters, and we see that seems to be the case here. There's about a 65-mile voyage from Malta to Syracuse, not Syracuse, New York, but Syracuse, Sicily, and they find another grain freighter on the way. And then Luke gives us a very interesting detail about this. We wonder why Luke felt it was important to mention this little detail about the ship, but the ship seems to carry a figurehead of two of the Roman pagan gods. They were Castor and Pollux. They were the sons of Zeus, and sailors regarded these two gods, Castor and Pollux, to be the patron deities that would protect them from the dangers of sea. They even have a constellation. Gemini is the constellation of Castor and Pollux, and it was considered a sign of good luck to sailors out at sea. And so again, we wonder why Luke mentioned this detail, but Paul is traveling in a ship under the protection of these two Roman pagan gods, but we know that those two Roman pagan gods have no power to bring safety and provision and protection to the ship. The Apostle Paul is traveling with the one true God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we've seen how God has continued to protect this ship, not allowing one person to be lost in this vast storm. 276 people saved and preserved and brought safely to Malta because the one true protector of the sea is the one true God of the Apostle Paul. And so it's interesting, or maybe a bit ironic, that you have these pagan gods on the figurehead of this ship, Castor and Pollux, who are seen by some of the Roman sailors as offering protection, but we know that the real protection does not come from make-believe imaginary gods. The real protection, the real providential hand, comes from the one true God, worshipped by the Apostle Paul, and also worshipped and honored by us as well. Verse 12, it says, we put in at Syracuse and stayed there 3 days. From there we set sail and arrived at Requiem. The next day a south wind came up, and on the following day we reached Puteoli. Why the delay? Well, we're not sure. It could have been cargo that needed to be unloaded or loaded. It was a grain freighter. Maybe they needed grain there in the island of Sicily, and so that may have been the delay. It also could have been weather. This is still the early part of February, and like we had mentioned before, the weather is unpredictable. Sometimes we anticipate good weather, and it doesn't turn out that way. We anticipated good weather as they set off from Fair Havens to Phoenix, but that didn't turn out to be the way they anticipated. And so it may have been that they set in at Syracuse and had to delay their departure until that wind picked up. Verse 14, it says, there we found some brothers who invited us to spend a week with them. In the context here, the brothers are fellow believers. Fellow believers. Like at Sidon at the beginning of this voyage to Rome, Paul enjoyed fellowship with fellow believers. There's a blessing and an encouragement that comes from such fellowship. Jim was mentioning during our testimony time today the joy and the excitement and the fellowship and the enrichment that comes of believers coming together to enjoy a meal, to enjoy some activities. I had to miss that last tacos and pool event, and I'm sad I did. But the idea is when we are able to come together with fellow believers, believers with whom we share a common faith and a common Savior and a common God, there's joy in that. There's fellowship in that. There's enrichment in that. Jim and Nita often open up their homes to our men's group, our women's group, and when we have been able to gather together with fellow believers, enjoying a meal together, a study together, a time of fellowship, it is a joy. And the Apostle Paul knew that joy when he was at Sidon, and now he's enjoying that joy or that enrichment as he's heading toward Rome. We're in our last leg toward Rome, and from this point on, they'll be walking most of the way, and that distance will be covered in about 5 days. As we land here, there's an interesting feature that we want to note. In this same region was Mount Vesuvius and the city of Pompeii, there in the Gulf of Naples. Paul may have seen this as he pulled in. He may have seen this as he was leaving, and the Mount Vesuvius was indeed there in all its grandeur. This was actually 18 years before Mount Vesuvius blew up and buried the city of Pompeii. I can just in my own mind imagine the Apostle Paul and Luke and Aristarchus doing selfies with Mount Vesuvius in the background. This was a fun historic place, a very beautiful place. And again, as Paul travels through this region and possibly sees Mount Vesuvius and notices the beauty that is that that place, it was just 18 years before this volcano blew and made an impact upon our knowledge of history. So, it says here, the brothers there heard that we were coming. Now, the brothers referring to here is the brothers in Rome. Paul and Luke and Aristarchus had spent a week down in Puteoli, and that gave enough time for the believers there in Rome to hear that Paul has arrived. He's only a short distance away. And so some of the believers there in Rome actually traveled down the Appian Way to see Paul. The Appian Way is a very famous road through the peninsula of Italy, the main road to Rome. And believers in Rome, when they heard Paul was coming, began to travel south down this Appian Way in order to meet the Apostle Paul. There seems to be two groups of believers coming down. Probably this stems from the fact that there were several different house churches in Rome. Many of the ancient cities didn't have churches that accommodated all the people, but you had house churches. So the impression we get is two of these house churches heard that the Apostle Paul was coming and decided to walk down the Appian Way to greet him and to welcome him before his actual arrival. They traveled as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet us, Luke tells us. At the side of these men, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. Now, the Forum of Appius is about 43 miles south of Rome. The Three Taverns, the other place, was about 23 miles from Rome. So Paul had the opportunity to greet these two groups of fellow believers traveling up the road in order to gain the opportunity to walk with the Apostle Paul the last few miles. Paul must have been, the text tells us that he was very much encouraged at this. It says, last part of verse 15, at the sight of these men, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. Now that Paul is starting to actually meet some of the believers from Rome, let's take a moment to review Paul's desire and Paul's plans to come to Rome. We can start our exploration of this by looking at Paul's words in the book of Romans. You know, the book of Romans, as we mentioned before, was written about 3 years before this point in time. We talked about how Paul wrote the book of Romans from the city of Corinth in anticipation of his arriving there. I do think it's wonderful, providential, if you will, that in our Bibles, the book in the Bible that follows the book of Acts is the book of Romans. You flip over, that's just a page now, because we're in Acts chapter 28. The very next book is the book of Romans. Acts is the story of the gospel going from Jerusalem to Rome. And then the very next book of the Bible is the book of Romans, written by the Apostle Paul 3 years before this. So let's look at Romans for a moment. In the opening chapter of the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 8, this is the words of Paul's greeting to the believers there in Rome. Reading from Romans, chapter 1, verse 8. Paul says, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. The believers in Rome had a reputation. They had a faith. They had a testimony that was known throughout the world. Verse 9, God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of the Son, is my witness. How constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. We talked about the importance of fellowship, the importance of meeting together with other believers, whether it be Puteoli or Sidon or Rome. We're just here in our own fellowship hall. We're in the home of one of our members. Again, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Verse 13, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the Gentiles. Note, Paul has this desire to come to Rome in order to meet the believers, to be encouraged by the believers. And now we see in our current story in Acts chapter 28, verse 15, he is encouraged when he sees these brothers coming to him. Let's go back to the book of Romans. Now, Romans chapter 15, Paul talks about his plans to go to Rome and then actually through Rome on his way to Spain. We've talked about Paul's plans in this regard in the past. Let's review verse 23, Romans 15, 23. Paul says, but now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions. In other words, Paul has had these three successful missionary journeys there in the eastern part of the Roman Empire, and now his desire is to go to the west. And since I have been longing for many years to see you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. We've mentioned before that that was Paul's ultimate goal, to go to Spain, furthest west in the Roman Empire, to spread the gospel there. Paul goes on, I hope to visit you while passing through and have you assist me on my journey there after I have enjoyed your company for a while. Paul was a missionary. He knew the believers there in Rome because of their great faith, the reputation of faith, would want to partner with him in the missionary endeavor out to Spain. Just as we partner with the missionaries of the Southern Baptist Convention, supporting them through Annie Armstrong and Lonnie Moon. Back to Paul's words here, verse 25. Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the saints there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Again, we've talked about these plans and these experiences that Paul has had. Let's jump down now to verse 30. Again, Romans chapter 15, verse 30. I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and together with you be refreshed. Now, Paul does indeed go to Rome after Jerusalem. His plan, as this text tells us, was to be a free man and travel there on a fourth missionary journey to Spain. But we know, because of God's providential hand and protection, that those plans did not come out the way Paul had anticipated. He instead was arrested in Rome, brought to Caesarea, put on trial, and finally arrives in Rome as a prisoner of Rome, having appealed to Caesar. Again, we've seen that story of the Apostle Paul. But when he wrote the book of Romans 3 years previously, his envision was to come to Rome on his way to Spain. Notice, too, as we read that passage from Romans 15, that Paul prays for them. And he requests his prayer or their prayers in return. Reminds us of the importance of prayer. We've talked about the joy that comes from our fellowship with one another. There's also a strength and an empowerment that comes when we pray for one another. I enjoy Wednesday night here on our Wednesday night Bible study because we begin with a time of prayer. Hearing and praying for the requests of one another. And even some who are not able to attend on Wednesday night, we remember you in our prayers. And we pray for the congregation. We pray for people we know, people in need of healing, situations in the world that need our prayer. Paul here in Romans is indicating that he prays for them and he desires them to pray for him. That's Romans chapter 15. And then the final chapter of Romans, Romans chapter 16, we're not going to read any of the verses from that passage, but if you look at that chapter, it shows Paul greeting the people he knows in the city of Rome. Paul had not been there, but he knew people in Rome, and he sent them personal greetings. He loved these people, and now that he's met them face to face on this Appian Way, a few miles outside of Rome, he is encouraged and filled with joy. Returning to the book of Acts now, chapter 19. This was during Paul's third missionary journey. And the first time he mentions this in the verses in Acts, we see Paul expressing his desire to go to Rome from the city of Ephesus near the end of his time there. Acts chapter 19, verse 21 reads like this. After all this had happened, that is, after all of Paul's work in the city of Ephesus, because he had been there for 3 years, Paul decides to go to Jerusalem, passing through Macedonia and Achaia. Why is he going to Jerusalem? We just read in Romans, to bring that love offering, that relief offering to the believers there. And then Paul says, after I have been there, I must visit Rome also. Now, Paul had never been to Rome, not to our knowledge, but he has this desire to visit the believers in that city. He felt compelled to stop at Jerusalem, and there in Jerusalem, after being brought under opposition, we read in Acts chapter 23, verse 11, the vision of Jesus to the Apostle Paul that he would arrive in Rome. We've looked again at this passage. Acts 23, verse 11. The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, take courage. Paul was experiencing much opposition from the Jewish leaders. And Jesus says to him, take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. We've noted already the promise there. And from that promise, the hope that the Apostle Paul had. All the voyage from Caesarea to Rome, Paul knew with great confidence that he would arrive in Rome. Despite shipwrecks, despite storms at sea, despite being bitten by a poisonous viper on the island of Malta, Paul knew he would come to Rome. How did he know that? With confidence, because Jesus promised, as you have testified in Jerusalem, so you will testify in Rome. And Paul is now visiting some of the believers in Rome on this road. It marks an accomplishment of Paul's desire to go to Rome. And also, if you think about it, marks the accomplishment of the whole book of Acts. We've said on a number of occasions, the theme verse for the book of Acts is Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where Jesus says to his followers, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And Rome represents the ends of the earth. The gospel, the book of Acts, is the story, as we've been watching and see it unfold. The book of Acts is the story of the gospel going from Jerusalem to Rome, from home to the ends of the earth. Now, Paul, as we noted, had never been to Rome. Paul didn't start the church in Rome. So how does that church in Rome come about? There's no story in the book of Acts of any of the apostles or other missionaries who started the book of Rome, or the church in Rome. Most believe that Rome, or the church in Rome, began soon after the story of the Holy Spirit coming to the early church in Acts chapter 2. When Luke writes Acts chapter 2, the story of the day of Pentecost, how Jews from all around the Roman Empire had descended into Jerusalem to celebrate the Jewish feast of Pentecost. One of the cities that's mentioned specifically there in Acts chapter 2 is people from Rome. So the thought is that believers from all around had come to Rome, had seen the Holy Spirit poured out, and maybe a handful of believers were in that group of 3,000 who came to faith in Jesus Christ And now they traveled back to Rome, and they traveled back to plant a fellowship, a church of believers in Jesus Christ. So even though we're not told of an individual who started the church in Rome, we can conjecture that it came from the believers who came to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2. Now, as Paul is traveling to Rome, I am sure he wondered at times how he would be received by the believers in Rome. In fact, think about this. In contrast to coming to Jerusalem, at the end of his third missionary journey, he had come to Jerusalem, and he found out when he arrived that there were rumors about him, and there's uncertainty about him. In fact, James, the brother of Jesus, counseled Paul to participate in this Jewish ritual of purification there in the temple in order to alleviate some of the concerns that people had, believers had, in the city of Jerusalem. And so Paul, we could say, had come to Jerusalem and felt an uncomfortable reception, and he had gone to the temple to alleviate that. Again, we've seen that as we arrive, but here the question is, would there be a similar uncertainty in Rome based on rumors that had abounded about the Apostle Paul in the Roman world? In the past, we've talked about one of the key purposes of the book of Romans may have been to address these types of rumors. Paul was a cutting-edge teacher, and so there was lots of rumors about Paul. We've seen that before. And so one of the purposes of the letter to the Romans, the book of Romans, was to explain to the people in Rome his message to the believers in light of the rumors that circulated. So as Paul arrived in Rome, would he be accepted by the believers, or would he be rejected by the believers? Or maybe Paul, as he arrived in Rome, was concerned that he would find detractors in Rome, that is, people who questioned his message, who questioned his apostolic authority. We've seen that before. The book of Galatians, this was right after Paul's first missionary journey. People from Jerusalem had gone to Galatia, calling into question Paul's message and his apostolic authority. Paul had to write the book of Galatians to address those issues. And then also, as we looked at the city of Corinth, as we did our series through 1 and 2 Corinthians, we noted that one of the things that Paul had to deal with there was detractors. He had gone to Corinth, he had established the church, but then when he was away, others had come in questioning Paul's message, questioning his apostolic authority. And so when Paul wrote 1 and 2 Corinthians, especially 2 Corinthians, he was defending his apostolic authority. He was defending his message against detractors. Would Paul find detractors in Rome as he had found in Corinth? Again, Paul had written the book of Romans 3 years before. Would they welcome his message? Would they recognize his apostolic authority? When Paul arrived in Rome, would they, that is the believers in Rome, embrace him or challenge him? Was this going to be a repeat of his experience in the city of Corinth? Well, that's where the verse 15 here becomes important for us. When he arrived, and we saw the warm welcome from the believers there in Rome, he was encouraged. He was encouraged. Encouraged because they had embraced his message and supported him. Encouraged because they had made the effort to travel out 43 miles in order to walk back into the city with him. He was encouraged because instead of questioning his apostolic authority, they embraced him as a messenger and a missionary of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would they have supported him on the way to Spain? I think they would have, although that doesn't become a need at this point, because he has not arrived as a free missionary. He's arrived as a Roman prisoner. But he has arrived to welcoming arms and a warm reception. And for that, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. Paul thanked God and was encouraged. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that we are able to be encouraged by the fellowship of believers, that we're able to be encouraged and be in a position of thanking God for the warmth and the reception and the fellowship and the prayer that we share with one another. Father, our desire is to always be in a position of fellowship, of thankfulness, of encouragement. And when we are faithful to the gospel, and when we fellowship with those who are likewise faithful to the gospel, we are in a place of thanking God and being encouraged. Like the Apostle Paul, we walk in the power of Jesus and we are encouraged in the message and the reception of the power of Jesus. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.